Welcome to The City's Backyard with Matt Szako. The City's Backyard starts now.
Today, this is going to be a really fun podcast because we have a very cool recording engineer, studio engineer, audio designer. His name is Shelly Yakis. He's in the backyard today to talk about rock and roll. And on the podcast, you know, it's about arts, entertainment, music, and community. So this is just a lot of fun to have Shelly drop by the backyard today. Shelly, how's it going? Welcome to the City's Backyard. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm happy to be here.
So as you know, and I'm happy to have you, as you know, Denny Lane from Paul McCartney and Wings just recently passed away. And, you know, you've worked with some iconic people in the industry. And, you know, right away, the names that come to mind, John Lennon, Tom Petty, Alice Cooper, Van Morrison, and many more. I'll let you kind of talk about it. But let's get right to the facts here. You actually recorded the song Imagine with John Lennon.
We recorded it. Yes, I recorded it. There were a few people that worked on it. There was Roy Sakala, myself. We actually got Imagine as a mix, and Phil Spector and John wanted to put strings on it. And we recorded the strings, and then when the sessions were over during the day, we would go to a different room and use a work tape that really no one knew about. It was quite a secret thing. And we added some stuff to strengthen what was there in the mix, and then remixed the mix with the strings and with the new stuff we were adding. And yes, I was there. I was in the room with Phil Spector and John and Roy Sakala. Jack Douglas was working on it in another room, working on the rest of the album in another room with Roy off and on. And it was a cast of characters.
It's just so cool. I mean, your background as a American music engineer and mixer, you were the chief engineer and VP of A&M Records, and you were also nominated for induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 99. And you were referenced in one of Petty's songs, What Are You Doing in My Life? I thought it was a couple songs. Louisiana Rain too, right?
No, just the one song, What Are You Doing in My Life? They were looking for, well, before I tell you this, it was a vice president of A&M studio, recording studios.
Oh, okay. So Wikipedia is wrong, as usual.
Yeah.
And that's what Denny Lane was saying, you know, when I interviewed him a couple times. You can't believe everything you read. So
no, that's for sure.
You know, yeah, we got into this whole thing about him, you know, being founder versus co-founder, and he was co-founder of Wings. So Wikipedia does get it wrong. So I apologize about that. But
no problem. I just want to be accurate, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, what I want to get to, because we're going to need to take a couple breaks, but I want to break it down into a few different artists. I mean, let's not forget Blue Oyster Cult, Dire Straits, Don Henley, Madonna, Stevie Nicks. I mean, there's a picture of you with Stevie Nicks, and she's, you know, it's an old black and white, and she has sort of like her hand on your shoulder. So it's obvious you're a likable guy, Shelly, you know?
Could only hope.
But I mean, you have to have, I think you were quoted as saying something like, and I don't want to get it wrong, but, you know, you have to have that personality to get along with these musicians, because they can be finicky and they're artists, right? So it's not just being a great audio engineer, but you have to be liked by the talent, correct?
Sure. It doesn't work if they don't like you. Believe me. They're under a lot of pressure to come up with an album that's going to be successful. And, you know, after you're in the studio, after I'm in the studio with them for weeks, sometimes months, they bare their souls. You know, they say things that I could never say on the show about their upbringing, about their current love status, about their family life, about their managers, about the record label. And they trust that they'll never hear it again, you know. But they're under a lot of pressure in a lot of ways. And I've always thought that if I could help them feel comfortable and give them what they're looking for, and try in the meantime to satisfy myself the best I can within that framework, that we could all do good work together, you know?
Yeah. So back to John Lennon for a second, because then I want to move on to some other rockers that you've worked with. But was John a nice guy? I mean, did he talk to you directly and tell you exactly what he needed out of the song? I mean, I'm sure, right?
Yes, John was a great guy. And a lot of what you saw in the press, I think, was just to write articles, you know. But John was, the fact that John trusted me and that I was pretty new, but I had done enough stuff so that I had enough experience. And I'm sitting beside John, and one day I'm thinking to myself, is this guy going to figure out that I don't know what the hell I'm doing? I mean, he worked with the greats, you know. He worked with George Martin, and he worked with Jeff Emmerich, and who knows who else that was fabulous. And you know, those records didn't get made by themselves. Here I am sitting next to him, shoulder to shoulder, and he was the most respectful guy, and he just wanted his music to work. And sure, I would do what I do, and he would say, all right, can we have more of this or less of this? Or, you know, he would just, he pretty much knew what he wanted, you know. My job was to give him what he was hearing in his head. My job was to get it to come out of the speakers.
Yeah, Imagine is just an iconic song. Did you ever imagine that song was going to be what it is today?
No, I knew it was special. I don't always know, you know, none of us always know, but there was something special about it. I had no idea it would be as big as it is. It still is. It's huge. And it was just the most amazing experience working with John, you know.
And so you worked with him on one or two albums?
More. I worked with him on Walls and Bridges, Imagine, and let's see.
That was a long time ago. That was in the 70s.
Yes, it was. Oh, Rock and Roll album. I worked on the Rock and Roll album.
All great stuff. You know, let's take a break, Shelley. I want to come back. I want to hit on a little bit of Alice Cooper and Tom Petty and Blue Oyster Cult. So, you know, this is just, your career is amazing. Behind the scenes guy. You know, a lot of people don't know who you are because, you know, you're not the front man. You're not the lead singer. You're the audio mixer, you know. And so let's take a break and come back more with Shelley Yakis. He's a engineer and mixer. I mean, iconic engineer and mixer, working with John Lennon and Petty and everybody else. So more right after the break.
Skip the trip to the city and see Broadway actors right here in Fairfield County for a fraction of the price. Located at 509 Westport Avenue in Norwalk, Music Theater of Connecticut is your ticket to local professional theater. Get your tickets now and experience one-of-a-kind productions in our intimate, state-of-the-art Black Box Theater. For showtimes and reservations, visit our website at musictheaterofct.com or call us at 203-454-3883. Music Theater of Connecticut, where theater isn't just observed, it's experienced.
Hi, I'm Rick Tavella, owner of Rick's Main Roofing, a family-owned and operated business since 1948, specializing in all types of residential and commercial roofing. We are GAF Residential Master Elite and GAF Commercial Master Select certified contractors, offering the finest warranties in the industry. This certification is only given to the best of the best. Rick's Main Roofing services all of Fairfield and Westchester County and offers a 24-hour emergency service. Look us up, ricksmainroofing.com.
Accurate Auto Repair in Norwalk, Connecticut reminds you to maintain your vehicle through the winter months and drive safely this holiday season.
Hey, this is Benny from Accurate Auto Repair. Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and Happy New Year from our family at Accurate Auto Repair to your family. Have a great holiday season.
Hey, how about a great sandwich for lunch or delicious breakfast and cappuccino? This is Sergio. Come and see me at Francesca's Cafe and Grill, right here on the Post Road in Norwalk, 249 Westport Avenue. Your friend Sergio here does it all, from Italy to Norwalk to coffee and cannolis. Francesca is truly a piece of Italy right here in heart of Norwalk. Check out our great menu at francescasdeli.com.
From the Empire State Building's backyard, you're listening to The City's Backyard with Matt Zacho.
We are back with audio engineer and mixer Shelley Yakis. You know, working with all these great artists over the years, John Lennon, Van Morrison, TP, Blue Oyster Cult, Alice Cooper. So I mentioned to you, you know, that I've had on some great rockers on the podcast. So let's get right to, say, Alice Cooper. You mixed Schools Out?
Correct. I mixed the single.
And, you know, I told you I had Dennis Dunaway on, the original bassist, and he co-wrote Schools Out and I'm 18. Did you work with the whole band mixing or what?
No, it was just Bob Ezrin and myself.
Really?
Yeah. And I remember he had to have the song mixed for a meeting in the morning, early morning meeting. I think we did something really unusual. I think we started mixing it at 6 a.m. And we finished it in the mid-morning, and he had to run over and play it for the label, because they wanted to get the single out and, you know, all the business that goes with it. And Roy Sakala had actually recorded it with Bob and the band, and Bob and I mixed it.
So that's interesting, because, you know, here you are in the music business and you're up at 6 a.m., which is sort of unheard of for musicians. You know, they sleep till, well, I mean, not all of them, but you know what I mean? They don't like to get going till around 11 a.m.,
No, I'm still on a late night schedule. I still don't go to sleep till 2-3,
so yeah,
4 in the morning, you know.
When you worked with John, what time did you guys meet? And was that done in New York City?
Yes, it was done at a record plant in New York City. We would start around 11, 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you mixed how much of Alice Cooper's music?
Oh, a lot of it. I have to get you a list. The most prominent song we mixed on there was Elected.
That's really cool. What I find interesting, so basically the band would let you were kind of like unsupervised in a way, whereas John Lennon was right there with you, as opposed to Alice Cooper.
Well, the album that I'm talking about, we recorded it with a remote truck in Connecticut, actually, at a place called the Galicia Estate, which was a mansion on this dead-end road that had a cul-de-sac, and Betty Davis's home was there. We recorded it with the record plant remote truck in the driveway, and we recorded it in that house. And they were living there. The band was living there.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard they all lived in, well, I mean, Dennis lives around here now in Fairfield County, but I heard that Alice Cooper was, I think he rented a big mansion, if I'm not mistaken.
They rented that mansion. I think Alice's shower had like 24 shower heads in it. It was amazing. It was like a hotel inside on the second floor where the bedrooms were. It was bedroom after bedroom after bedroom. It was wild.
So what was the deal with the truck? And it was like they didn't want you to be, you know, near them while they were in the house?
No. It was nothing like that. It was, I think Bob and the band felt that it would be, to do a live recording would be a better recording than bringing the guys in the studio.
Oh, I see.
To do it in an environment where they're casual. So we set it up. So we set it up that way. We had the drums in one room and everybody could pretty much see each other. And it really worked.
Oh, that is neat. That sounds similar to like how Tom Petty was doing some stuff, you know? I think at Mike Campbell's house, they recorded a song.
Well, they did a lot of demos. Later on, they did. When Jimmy and I were working with them, they would record their demos in Mike Campbell's house. And I think maybe in Tom Petty's house also. They record these demos and bring them to the studio. Let me tell you, they were tough to beat. The demos were always playing Beat the Demo, because they were so good and so revealing about what the song should be. It was great.
That is awesome, man. I want to talk more about Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I just saw Mike Campbell's Dirty Knobs not too long ago locally, and it was a great show. It was kind of sad too, in a sense. But more with Shelly Yakis. There's a great picture of Shelly on his website and out there on the internet, you know, mixing Tom Petty back in the day. So more with Shelly right after this.
Visit Rory's Restaurant, 416 Post Road in Darien. Rory's is where it's always delicious. Try their great selection of mouthwatering appetizers, hot and cold sandwiches, scrumptious entrees, and outrageous soups. Check out their menu at rorys.net or call 203-655-9453 for takeout or curbside pickup. Open 7 days.
Don't let an uncomfortable home keep you from enjoying it. Call the Heating and Cooling Company of Norwalk at 203-855-0858 today and schedule your free system evaluation or Google them. The Heating and Cooling Company of Norwalk.
We're back. You're listening to The City's Backyard.
This is such a great episode. We've got Shelly Yakis on. He's a behind the scenes guy. And, you know, he's the guy you don't see when you hear the album or the music video from Tom Petty or, you know, Madonna. But you've worked with some amazing people. And we were talking about Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Let's just touch on what it was like to be in that studio with Tom and the rest of the guys. Mike, tell us a little bit about the Damn the Torpedoes, because that was... Was that the first album you mixed with them?
Yes, that was the first album I worked on with them. And Jimmy and I, Jimmy was the producer and I was the engineer and mixer. And we did it at Sound City in Los Angeles. It was really a great experience. It took many months to do. There were some interruptions along the way. And they would bring in these, Tom and Mike Campbell would bring in these demos, and we would try to better them, which we did, you know, but it was very difficult to beat their demos. They did great stuff when they were working on their own. It was, if you can imagine these big speakers in the wall and hearing that music come out of these big speakers, and it's rocking. Man, these guys could play. They were just committed to their music and their album and their careers, and it was great working with them. It really was.
So normally, you know, when you're working with these guys, do they say, Shelly, you know, what do you think? Or do we need more of this or that? Or because you're working with a producer and you're the actual engineer, correct? For, you know, the average person that doesn't know the technical side of things.
Well, they would speak to the producer and I'd be sitting next to the producer and they would speak to him about what they're usually arrangement wise and tempo wise and, you know, song creation. And they would talk to me about, you know, can we do some about my guitar sound? I'm not happy with it. Can we work on it some more? Or the drums could be a little bit more important sounding, or whatever it is that they're looking for, you know. And then that's something that they would talk to me directly about. And I would, you know, in private, for a moment, just discuss with Jimmy about, you know, is it cool that we take the time to do this? And you're all good. And he'd always say, let's go. Let's do it.
Did you feel like after you did more, because how many albums did you do? Four? You did Southern Accents, Long After Dark, Damn the Torpedoes, and one other one. Can't remember what it is. I got to go through your website. But I mean, you know, as you got to know them, was it easier to work with them because they were more and more comfortable with you? Or they'd probably trusted you after that great album, Damn the Torpedoes.
Yeah, they did trust me. And they, is it easier? It's never easy.
You did Hard Promises. That was the other one. That's probably how you got to know Stevie Nicks.
Well, we got to know Stevie Nicks because her manager and Stevie were looking for someone to work with. And we had had success. And they were attracted to, I think it was the fact that we had worked with Tom and had that success. They were attracted to that and approached us about working on Stevie's Belladonna album. And then we did a few other albums after that with her.
Did you record Insider, the duo with Tom and her?
I'm
an insider.
Yes.
And I think, Well, I know that she wanted to be in the band at one point, and he didn't want any. He was like against any women in the band, and he just wanted to keep, you know, he just wanted to keep it guys. I mean, what, you know, this is classic, because I'm a major. I'm sure you've heard this from a ton of people. I mean, you know, come on, Tom Petty's got so many fans. But when I was younger, I felt like I was, you know, one of the diehards, and I still am, because I know a lot more than the average Petty person. I know the deep cuts. That's how I consider you to be. Like, I'm not a deep cut Rush fan. I know the deep cuts from Petty, one of my favorite artists of all time. So just the fact that you worked with him on all those albums, and, you know, Damn the Torpedoes is really the album, from what I've read, that saved him from, you know, going bankrupt. So, and you were on that. So that's just huge, you know. So it's just amazing how precise you must have had to been to come out with such a great album, you know. But like you said, their demos were good to start, so you already had something good to work with.
Yeah, there was a guideline there of how the song should go, but recreating it in the studio is always difficult, because you only get the great take once, and those demos were pretty representative of what the song should be. They weren't like always exact, but they were close enough and done well enough that you could certainly get the idea. And the finals varied somewhat from the demos, some more than others. But, you know, being part of creating those songs with the band, with Jimmy and with the band, is really a special place to be in life. And during that time, you know, it's like, it's like working with such creative people changes me in a lot of ways, because I learned from the managers how it all works. I learned from the band, from their perspective, what it's like for them. It was important that I knew my place, and that I knew that I wasn't the producer and I'm not the artist. I'm the recording engineer and the mixer.
You had to know your job.
My job was to get what was in the in Tom's head and Jimmy's head to come out of the speaker.
Yeah. So you were basically reporting to the producer and the musician, and they would tell you what they wanted, and you'd make it happen, you know, technically.
Yes. And if it wasn't happening, we would talk about how to get it to happen. You know, sometimes in private, I would say to the producer, whoever the producer I'm working with is, I think that when they were going to maybe take a take of a song, accept the final take, I'd sometimes say, you know, I think they got one more in them. You ought to try to see if you can get one more take. You might be able to better this one. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. But I was very careful to never overstep my bounds. I never wanted the producer of any album I was working on to think I was trying to take over his position, which is easy to do, because sometimes the artist will say, if there's a disagreement between the artist and the producer, the artist will say to me, Shelley, what do you think? And I'll say, if I answer that question, I get fired.
Exactly. Well, you're sort of like Ringo Starr. You know, you sort of just keep your mouth shut.
Well, you got to know when you can speak up and when you can't. And
you got to carefully choose those words.
Yes. And the producer's got his hands full. He's balancing whatever band he's working with, or we're working on. He's balancing the record label, the manager, the lead singer,
the egos,
the girlfriend of the lead singer, the girlfriend of the bass player. He's balancing all that stuff. Why aren't my songs on the album? I mean, and my job is to make it easier for them, you know?
Yeah. We're going to take a break and come back and just talk a little bit more about you two, maybe touch on Grand Funk if we have time. But before we do, what was Tom like? Because he's no longer with us. What was he like as a guy to work with? Briefly.
He was just a very talented, regular guy. The people that are good at what they do, there's a common thread between all of them. And even though their music is totally different from one to the other, it's about their commitment to their music and the career. And they live it. They eat, live, and breathe it 24 hours a day. I'm not going to say they ignore other stuff in their life, but I am going to say that their commitment makes it more better to work on their projects because they're so into it, you know. And
they're not half-assed.
No, they're looking to us to take it the rest of the way. Otherwise, they wouldn't need us if they could take it the rest of the way. But Tom was very cool, and he was always had a lot of patience for what we needed to do in the control room. And he was a great songwriter, and he and Mike Campbell were great songwriters together. And he always tried to do the right thing for his band, and he always treated me and with the utmost respect, and we got along great. As a matter of fact, I was standing in line boarding a plane going to the Lake Tahoe area, and I was going to go snowmobiling that weekend. All of a sudden, Tom and I see each other in the line. He was also going there to take a weekend off. And I said, Tom, how do I reach you? I want to take you snowmobiling. It's going to change your life. And he said, well, you know, I'm just coming here to get a rest, and I'm not sure if I'm going to leave the hotel. And I said, well, where are you staying? I'll give you a call, and let's see if we can catch up. And so I called him, and I said, and previously I had called this dealer and said, hey, can you get me an extra machine? And do you want to come on this? Let's go to the mountains and let's go snowmobiling. And I think we can get Tom Petty to go with us if you can supply the machine. So we did. And I called Tom and I said, Tom, come on. You got to leave the hotel for a few hours. Let's go. And, you know, he was a little reluctant, but he said, okay, fine. And it turned out to be one of the best times he ever had. We went snowmobiling. We rolled the machines over. We were going 5 miles an hour around the curve. And we rolled the machines over on this side. And we're both laying in the snow. Wow. And the dealer was watching us laughing. It was great.
That sounds amazing. We were talking to Shelly Yakis. Great stories there, Shelly. And more coming up. We'll finish up the podcast. We'll touch on Bono a little bit. And of course, you know, Shelly, we can't fit it all in this episode. So you're going to have to come back, if that's okay, another time and talk more, if you don't mind, if that's cool with you.
No, I don't mind at all.
We really appreciate it. I mean, it's such an honor to talk to a guy like you, you know, with just your background is just incredible. And that's what's great about these episodes is we can you know, get the story of guys like you. Shelly Yakis is on this episode. It's The City's Backyard. More right after the break.
From hot to cold, breakfast to lunch, JV's Deli has something for everyone. JV specializes in thin crust pizza, deli sandwiches, pasta, and more. JV's Deli and Pizza, serving Norwalk for over 10 years, 15 Tierney Street, up the road from City Hall. Check out their great menu at jvsdeliandpizza.com.
Does your business need an edge over the competition? Bruce Park Sports and Embroidery is the answer. With custom clothing designed with your company logo, they'll help you from start to finish with embroidered or screen-printed hats, shirts, jackets, and more. All work done on-site and made in the USA. Call Bruce Park Sports and Embroidery at 203-853-4488 or check them out on Yelp.
This is Vince Santilli of Homes to the Brave, where we are renovating, expanding, and adding an elevator for our veterans experiencing homelessness. You can be part of this project by naming a brick, bench, room, or area in our facility. Go to homestothebrave.org. That's homestothebrave.org.
From the backyard of the Gorilla Building, the city's backyard.
We're in the backyard. We're having a lot of fun with Shelly Yakis, and the time is just moving so quickly. So before we wind down the show here, Shelly, let's just touch on you two. I mean, you know, Grand Funk, maybe we need to save that for the next time you're on. But, you know, everybody loves Bono and you two. So Bono as a guy to work with, I mean, how many albums off the top of your head did you do with you two?
We did an EP and then we did an album. We did Rattle and Hum
and Under a Blood Red Sky.
We did an EP, which was for them, which was Live at Red Rocks.
Yeah. Great albums for sure. So what was Bono like, you know, or what is he like? He's still alive.
Well, he's a great guy. He nominated me for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Unfortunately, no one knew that they don't accept engineers, only producers and groups. So I was nominated, which was fabulous, and I lost to a guy that really had no talent, this guy, George Martin. you can cut that out. But he nominated me for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Bono's a great guy, and he's another artist that's about his music and it's living and eating and breathing his music, along with his band and their commitment to their music and their songs and getting it across, you know?
So as an engineer, you would say, from all the artists you've worked with, and you don't have to mention the ones that are maybe considered slackers to you, but I'm sure none of them really are if you're working on their stuff.
None of them were.
Yeah. But you just mentioned, you know, Petty, you know, living and breathing music. It sounds like, you know, John Lennon was like that, and Bono for the most part. Blue Oyster Cult, you even mixed their stuff. And so, you know, you're part of rock and roll history. You really are. And are you still doing mixing and engineering with newer artists? I mean, I know you do a lot of remote stuff during the pandemic. You were doing a lot of these Q&A things for audio engineers and musicians. So what are you up to these days?
Well, actually, I'm mixing an album for the Fabulous Thunderbirds. If you can believe this, it's their 50th anniversary album that's going to be released, I think, in March. The songs are really good, and Kim Wilson is a great singer, and the band plays great, and it's really fun. It's really, I have to say that the songs are really strong, and everything about it is working well, and I can't wait for you to hear this, you know?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I always ask this usually at the end, especially with musicians, you know, and the world we're living in. People say, you know, well, how do you follow? Are you on social media or you stay off of it?
I pretty much stay off of it. I mean, I'm on some things, but I don't really follow it. People get annoyed that I don't keep up with it, but it's hard, you know.
I think, Shelley, that your personality, it is what it is. You're a behind the scenes guy. You don't really want to be in the limelight, from what I can tell, although you enjoy a little bit of, you know, reminiscing. But for the most part, that's why you're so good at what you do. You are where you want to be, correct?
Yes, I am. And it's working for me. And if people want to reach out to me or in any way, they can go to shellyakis.info.
Yeah, and they could see all those great albums. It's funny, when I pulled it up on my tablet, I had to scroll, you know, and when you see it on a computer, it's easier to see them all at once. But there's just so many, I'm just like swiping up and down to look. And that's why we need to have you back. You know, I like to keep the podcast to an average commute to work. But I will say this, I'm a creative person. I was a rock jock and now voice actor and all that. And with the podcast, it's great to connect with guys like you. And I'll just say that this new technology, it's still evolving. But I mean, here we are. You're in your house. I'm in my home studio. You're in your home studio. And we're connecting. So thanks so much for dropping by the City's Backyard today and sharing, you know, some of your stories. And we'll have you back soon. Is that cool?
Looking forward. Hey, Matt, it was very cool dropping by with you.
That puts a wrap on the City's Backyard. We'll be back next week with more interesting topics, great guests, and fun conversation about what's happening in and around your community. That's it for now. We'll see you soon.